I think we should get going. We'll proceed with what we're doing. We know that others will be coming in as we move through this time. My name is Jerry White, and I'm part of the Lausanne Board, and part of my responsibility is to chair the Lausanne Workplace Network. And we are combining today with basically two major networks. The Resource Mobilization Network that Sas Conradi, Sas, raise your hand over there, and Atul Tandon, in place of Rob Martin, who's the senior associate for that. They will be working with Resource Mobilization. And then we have a group of folks in what we call the Lausanne Workplace Network, which includes Tent Makers and Barrett, right back there, and Tim Liu here with Marketplace, and myself with the Lausanne Workplace Network. And we have been meeting monthly by telephone with a group of about 15 of us from around the world discussing workplace issues and bringing together some of that thinking. So today we'll give you a little bit more instruction a little later on. But to begin with, I think you know that, and by the way, I could introduce some of the others that are part of our network, but I think I won't try to do that right now. The structure of this will be that we'll have a good bit of the time in small work groups of six people each and bring reports in from that. And Resource Mobilization will do the same. We'll have a slightly different structure, and we'll start off together each morning. And it would be very helpful if we're able to come in by 11:15. I know that's difficult, so you can have water instead of coffee. I know that may not keep you awake, but at least you can begin. I'm with the Navigators as far as my work is concerned, but spent a good part of my career working in the areas of space and astronautics and teaching as a professor at the United States Air Force Academy and working in a number of the things related to the space industry, as is Kamesh has done similar. So coming from a secular background, as I do, and then moving into the Ministry of the Navigators was quite a shock to my system, and as many of you who have come out of the workplace. So I would like to, let me just see, I have a couple other notes here. We will have note takers at each table, and Resource Mobilization will operate in one way, but then John Boland and Steinar, where's Steinar? Is he, okay, Steinar are going to be the note takers here. It would be very helpful if you'll have an opportunity to introduce one another around your tables. But then it'd be helpful if you have a business card. Why don't we just say give them to John Boland, and that way we'll kind of know who is here. And the morning sessions, the three morning sessions, will have a short time of reflections in the scriptures that Sas will do today. And Will Messenger, Will, raise your hand. There we are. We'll do the next 2 days. But then each day we'll have, in the mornings, we'll have a certain sequence of things that we go through. And then the afternoons will be focused on actually more with the small groups and deciding where we think we should go. Ultimately, let me just give you a goal near the end. Ultimately, in these six sessions, with the two entities of the Resource Mobilization and the Workplace, we will want to come out with some outcomes by way of a way forward in the next 1 to 5 years in our area of interest. Perhaps leading to a Lausanne Occasional paper, which we think will happen at least from the workplace side, and providing resources. But that's something that we would like you to decide. So our focus over this last year has been to say, let's use this gathering here in Bangalore with a broader grouping of people than are normally on our workplace network calls to say, where ought we to go and what should Lausanne do by way of the workplace influence? So, are there any questions as to the process we're going to use just a little bit? Okay, near the end of these first few minutes, we'll ask those who are going to be in the resource mobilization side of discussions to meet in these tables, and we'll do a little division like that because we have a slightly different agenda. I'd like to just begin by introducing Atul Tandon. And Atul is going to give a few words on the resource mobilization, then I'll give a few thoughts that relate to both of them. So Atul, come on over and take this.
Thank you, Jerry. And I'm standing in for Rob Martin, who's a senior associate for resource mobilization. So do pray for him. He's had some issues with his health, which prevent him from traveling and being here. Though I know his thoughts and his prayers and his preparation are here. Yeah, so he's been at work for over a year, and Sas Kondrati, his colleague and our friend, is as well standing in for him. For those of you who are new or need a reminder on resource mobilization, the track of resource mobilization, obviously coming out of the Cape Town commitment and the work, have two sort of parallel foci. One is what I would call a stewardship and generosity, reminding the people of God, the stewards of God's resources, which is all of us, the body of Christ, of his call on us to use our resources, all of them, time, talent, treasure, influence, to equip God's kingdom builders, to equip the mission movement, right? So that's sort of the first focus. How do we go about doing that at a network level across the globally? How do we do that at the ministry level? How do we do that at the individual level? So there's a lot of work that's gone in there is on the whole stewardship and generosity movement. How do we launch that movement? How do we get people to embrace it? What tools do they need and so on? The second parallel track within the resource mobilization, the overall umbrella, is a track that is focused on ministries, on missions. And that's got itself two parts to it. One part that says, okay, as we generate, as God's people give the resources, are they being deployed effectively? Are ministries actually using the resources effectively? What needs to be done? What should be different, and how can we go about building capacity and competencies to do that? The second track within the ministry focus is on equipping the ministries and the mission movements to engage God's stewards effectively. So how do we really engage? How do we present the call? How do we report on the call? How do we ask them? How do we thank them? How do we encourage them? How do we truly engage them in the work of missions, in the work of ministry? So that instead of simply being givers and donors, they become true stewards and true partners. So those, a lot of work that's gone on, and for those of you who do so feel inclined, we do have, similar to the workplace, a very specific agenda for the next, what will be effectively five sessions, both an output and an outcome coming out of this time, which will carry on from here. So with that, let me turn over back to Jerry.
Thank you, Atul. And then I'll continue just to describe a little bit of the workplace. Last night, as I was reflecting on what passages we come to, of course, in the workplace and the theology of work and many, starting out in Genesis and throughout the scripture, we see work as a major issue. But there's one smaller, obscure, relatively obscure passage that I think ties together both generosity and the workplace. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. And when you start at verse 17, it's the title in the NIV says, "Living as Children of Light." And it describes people who, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Perhaps one thing describes the world of work and money, and that is a lust for more. And we often put this passage off in other kinds of issues of sensuality. But the passage goes on to say, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self," reflecting back on Romans, "which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." And there's little place that desire does not come into more than in one's view of resources and money, your talents and your gifts and your work. That is what the world generally puts out before us. But it says to be made new in the attitudes of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." We know that one quite well. "And do not give the devil a foothold." But this next passage, this next verse is the one I want to bring to your attention. It says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." Interesting, and the other passage in Living Bible, The Message, and others, it says, "so that they can give generously." It's one of those passages, Sas, that I believe links the concept of work and productivity and the concept of generosity. In the Cape Town commitment, if you'll just note, on page 35 is the section on truth and the workplace. Now, you should read that because one of the assignments we have here is to, so to speak, put legs on the Cape Town commitment. That is to say, okay, we have this commitment with all its multifaceted parts, but how do we actually do something about it and put it into practice? So if you would read that portion from 35 and 36, but let me read one paragraph. It says, "In spite of the enormous evangelistic and transformational opportunity of the workplace, where adult Christians have most relationships with non-Christians, few churches have the vision to equip their people to seize this. We have failed to regard work in itself as biblically and intrinsically significant, as we have failed to bring the whole of life under the Lordship of Christ." Quite a statement. Quite a statement. And since this session, beginning this morning, had to do with the church, if you will note, in most of the talks, even this morning, the word work didn't even come up. Okay? Now, you can say what you will, and it's not to be a criticism. It's just a fact of the way we think. We had the poor. We had the downtrodden. We had the outreach in the community, and so forth. But we need to think, who actually does that? And we would like to propose to you, both on the giving side and the work side. And by the way, so often, and I'm so pleased with the Generosity Network and the various things that Resource Mobilization is doing, it does not see the workforce as just simply a pocketbook, which has been the case that it's very nice to have significant, influential, and wealthy laymen and women. Please give us your money and let us, who are professionals, go and do what we are called to do. It must be, and I don't mean to be cynical on that, I just want to be realistic. I've written down about three things that I believe could control some of our thinking. And I want to just read them directly and see if it provides some help in walking through the day. First of all, in our thinking, we need to have the imperative of equipping and engaging the ordinary lay man or woman to be in the center of God's mission for the world. No one will disagree with that statement, not a pastor, not anybody. We feel that that is the case. But that brings us to the second point, the challenge. So the first is the imperative. The second is the challenge of planting a biblical vision of work, the workplace, and the worker in the heart and mind of committed men and women. Secondly, in the hearts and minds of pastors and seminary faculties. And thirdly, in helping materials to emerge that will actually be practical to help these people, and perhaps seminars to help people reach out in various formats. In other words, to equip them. One does not hire a person out of college and come into, as Atul was with Citibank, and says, thank you, you're fully equipped now. But you usually take 2 to 3 years to train that person so that with a college degree, they can actually become useful. But we ship people out of our younger ministries without equipping them how to live the life of Christ in the midst of the workplace. So first, the imperative. Second, the challenge. The third is to understand the impact on reaching the nations when the 98% of believers in the body of Christ actually become the mission force that both evangelizes and transforms the world. Dr. Gibson last night made one statement that I felt was incredible. He made many, and he made them very fast, as you recall. But as fast as I could write, here was one. Evangelism, it says, the people come by relationships. And then I added neighbor to neighbor, co-worker to co-worker. So people come by relationships. And so I trust that today and in the next 3 days as we work together, that we can see what the workplace, in terms of both the impact for evangelism and the impact for resources and mobilization, could have on the entire mission force. Making a little observation, at Cape Town we had approximately 4,200 people, and because we mandated certain selection criteria at Cape Town such that 10% were to be lay men and women out of a secular job, and so we had somewhere between 400 and 500, but we had to be extremely deliberate in the selection process and actually mandate on each country that requirement. Here we have 350 people, and I'm working, I only have 2 hands, so that gives me 10 to do my counting. And we may not have much more than that of true laymen. Now, I'm a quasi-layman. Atul's kind of a quasi-layman. We both come out of the secular world, and several of us have. John still works in the world of work. Willie is working in the world of work. So is Kamesh, and so forth. Now, that's not to either put it up or put it down. It's just to say that we still have a Luzon message that perhaps might be slightly deficient in the view of who actually does the work of ministry. And that is that we still are representative largely of those who are, quote, professionals who are working in Christian ministries in a full-time basis. So, again, not meant to be critical, just try to be observing. And we want to say, what can we do to influence and infuse the entire of the Lausanne movement and the body of Christ to think a little bit differently? So with that, that ends my part. And Sas, I'm going to turn it to you. And we're on time, actually, now.